We're going to turn to two short passages again tonight in the Word of God. The first one, you'll not find on the chart. But what we want to talk about is on the chart. And then the second verse that I read, it is on the chart. So I've kept my promise so far. I've been preaching on verses on the chart. But I said some night, if the Holy Spirit told me to go somewhere else, well, I would. The last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter number 3. Some of you will be guessing. I know that some of you guessed during the day, actually. You say, I wonder where Dave McKillen's going to go on the chart tonight. Well, we're moving across it and we're getting closer to the end, so maybe it's getting easier to guess. And some of you know already what I'm going to talk about tonight, and that's surprising, isn't it? Because I'm going to talk about what has already been talked about, even though we didn't discuss at all what we were going to preach about tonight. The book of Revelation, chapter 3, and verse number 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him or her and sup with him or her, and he or she with me. Luke's Gospel, the Gospel of Luke in chapter number 13. Luke 13, verse number 22. And he, that is Jesus, went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. That really means here in context, every village that he was visiting for the last time. He was on his last journey. And if we trace out the harmony and chronology of the gospel, we can put together the last journey. The last time he left Galilee and moved toward Jerusalem, a north to south journey. And it tells us quite a number of places that Jesus visited and preached in, and people who got saved. And most of them didn't know, but he did know, that he was preaching in their streets and in their villages and in their towns and outside their houses for the very last time. He went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? Oh, we can still ask that question, can't we? We can stand out there on One Road or West Side Road or anywhere in Kamloops City and say, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive. Make a very important effort to enter in at the narrow gate, the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able, when once the master of the house is risen up, and is shut to, close tight, the door. And ye begin to stand outside, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer, and say unto you, I know ye not, whence ye are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunken in thy presence. Thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I do not know you. Whence ye are, depart from me. We know that God does bless the public readings of his word. I've got three doors in my mind tonight that I want to speak about for a few minutes. Last week, you remember that most of the things I talked about were connected together with the letter P. Most of the things I'm speaking about this week are connected together with the number 3. You remember on Sunday evening we talked about 3 appointments. And we have to choose which 2 out of those 3 that we're going to keep. An appointment with death, that if Jesus does not come soon for the Christians, every single one of us will keep that appointment. And then on the other side, the next appointment will be a judgment appointment, either the judgment seat of Christ because we're saved, or the judgment of the great white throne because we died in our sins and didn't trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. 3 appointments, 2 to keep. Last night we talked about three groups of people. We gave them very strange names, but they're Bible names. We talked about a group who are called the sleeping in Jesus. There's none of them here. But some of us who are here could join that group before tomorrow. Then we talked about the alive and remain. And at this point in time, that's every single Christian who's in this room and every other single Christian in the world. At this point in time, we are part of the alive and remain. And if Jesus comes tonight, those two groups will join together, the sleeping in Jesus and the alive and remain, and that will form the church. The whole of the church has never been seen since Pentecost. It was only seen all in one place the day the church began. It will only be seen all together in one place the day the church goes home. And then we talked last night about a third group, the others with no hope. And some of you in this room tonight are part of that group. You're part of the others with no hope. That's not a fixed group, by the grace of God. The number in that group is being reduced every single day. That's an amazing thing, because people in the world today have believed the gospel and trusted in Jesus, and they've moved from the no hope group into the ones who are waiting for His coming, the alive and remain. We were praying in the prayer meeting downstairs tonight, and we really meant it, that every single unsaved person who would come along tonight could get saved. And there would be no hopers left in this room at 8 o'clock. Every single person here would be trusting in the Lord Jesus. Every family would be complete in Christ. That would be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? We hardly expect it, and yet we do believe it, and we pray for it. And I said last night that those groups will become completely fixed and solid and frozen at the very moment that Jesus comes. And we can't tell when that moment will be. The sleeping in Jesus, the dead in Christ. That whole group stops existing when Jesus comes, because they're all raised and changed. And the alive and remain, we stop existing down here when Jesus comes, because we're changed without dying, and we're caught up, we leave earth behind, and gravity is no holdback, and we all go up together to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. And the no hope group is left behind. If we don't know when Jesus comes, and if we don't know when death comes, and you don't want to be found either at death or at the rapture in the no hope group, the wise thing to do would be confess your sin and trust in Jesus Christ tonight. You say, I'll do it before I go to bed. No, don't do that, because you might put it off a minute too long. You say, I'll do it at the end of the meeting. Don't do that. The right thing to do, if the Spirit of God is speaking in your heart, is to bow your head. You don't have to put your hand up. You don't even have to tell anyone when it happens. Most people don't tell when it happens. Most people tell afterwards, because they find they can't keep it in. But the right thing to do, it's your choice. You can decide tonight. We've read about three different doors in our readings this evening. You say, I only can see two on the chart. Well, there should be a door that's not on the chart, because we read in Matthew 7 about the door to the broad way. If you want to go to hell tonight, you can make a deliberate choice, and God will honor your choice. There are people in this world. I have met some of them. It's not about deciding to go to hell at the point when they die. There are actually people in this world, and they think that it's a sensible choice to decide to go with their friends to hell. But did you examine the people on the chart? I know they're only little stick drawings. And some of the changes on this chart from the old original one, I like the differences. There's a little man. Don't worry that it's a man, because it could be a girl. And he's standing just outside the door. I wonder. I wonder every time I look at it. I wonder if the chart came alive and that was a person and that person was in this room tonight. I wonder, will they or will they not? He's looking up. He's looking in. But he's hesitating. And he's standing outside. He's got a burden that's weighing him down. Do you know what it's called? It's fear. And if you can't read it, come and look at it. He's hesitating outside the open door. Why? Because he's frightened. You say, frightened of what's inside? No, not for a moment. Frightened of trusting Jesus? Not for a second. Frightened of having your sins forgiven? No, dear soul, that makes no sense of any kind whatsoever. Frightened of... I know some people, the reason they don't trust in Jesus is they're frightened they can't keep it. That's a terrible reason, isn't it? I hope you've learned enough listening to the gospel in these meetings, if not in other places before, that we do not keep our salvation because we couldn't. If I was keeping my salvation tonight, I'd still be on the road to hell. And if I could lose my salvation tonight, I would get back onto the road to hell. That's impossible as well. We cannot lose it. You know why? Because we don't keep it. The reason that we can't lose it is because we don't keep it. It's in His keeping, and I'm in His keeping. I'm as sure of being in heaven as if I was already there. And every single person who's saved tonight is absolutely sure and certain that if Jesus came tonight, not one second, not one thing, not even the ceiling of this building would hold them back. There is no reason to fear trusting Jesus because you cannot keep your salvation. I give unto my sheep eternal life and they can never perish. The reason some of you bigger ones are not trusting in Jesus tonight is because you're fearful of what other people will say. I think that's the main fear. And this little stick man, you can put a name on him. Give him a girl's name or a boy's name. Or a friend's name that's not here. People that we're praying for, we'd love to see them come. And the reason they're not inside the door, for they know the story of the door, and they know the symbol of the door, and they know the message of the door, and they know the shepherd of the door, and they know the person of the door, and they know the reason for the door. And they know the pathway that leads from the door to heaven. And they're not saved tonight just because they're fearful of what other people might say. What a stupid reason not to trust in Jesus. You look at the other little man, the other large one. You see, it could even be the same person. He's right down at the bottom beside pillar death. He doesn't realize that shadows already falling on him. He missed the door. He's got one step left. He's going to go to hell. You know why? He never got rid of his fear. He never confessed his sin. Did you see what his burden's called? It's called loneliness. He doesn't want the company of the Christians, and he doesn't want the company and companionship of his Savior, the Lord Jesus. You see, there's people going to hell tonight because they're frightened of their friends. And if they were one second on the other side, they would find that hell is the loneliest place in the universe of God. And it'll be lonely away from God and away from the Christians and away from the company and away from light. And that'll never be changed. That's forever. Dear soul, this evening there is an open door. It's drawn on the chart. And it's no accident that all the things on the chart to do with heaven and blessing and salvation, the Savior and home and happiness, they're all colored blue and gold. And every single thing on the chart to do with judgment and separation and damnation and danger, they're all colored red and black. And those colors are not accidental. There is a door. Well, the hymn writer got it right. There is a door stands open wide. And through the very portals of that door is gleaming the radiance of the throne of light. I don't know if that's right. I think it's the radiance that shines in the face of my Savior. And if you were frightened of your sin, that's a good fear. If you were frightened of going to hell, that's a good fear. If you were frightened of being left outside when the door closed, that's a good fear. You would step by faith inside the door tonight. You don't have to move your foot. And say, like my granny loved to say, I am a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me. There is an open door tonight. It's drawn on the chart. And let me tell you this, dear soul, it's a wide open door, but it might close at once. The old chart I used to have, I gave it away when I got this new one. It had the door only open a little tiny bit. I didn't like that. I like this one because the door's standing wide open. It's wide enough for every single person to be saved at once. Isn't that strange? You've heard that tonight already. But it's narrow enough that every single person must be saved alone. You know, the loneliest moment that I ever had in my life, and I'll be 60 on my birthday, and some of my friends have left me and gone away. The loneliest moment I ever had in my life was the moment before I trusted Christ. I thought I was going to go to hell. I was only 8. I thought I couldn't get saved. I was sitting in a gospel meeting. I thought there was no salvation for me and God was going to close the door. And then I realized there was still time and the door was still open and Jesus was inviting me. Matthew 11:28. Come to me. Everyone who's been trying to save themselves. I've met a great many people in my lifetime, and you know what? They thought they'd get saved when they believed enough. You know, people who think they get saved by believing, they're going to go to hell as well. I don't care you believe until you've got a headache. I don't care you cry until you've no tears left. I don't care you learn verses from the Bible until you get to Revelation chapter 22. You can do all that and go to hell. Because it's not how much I believe. And it's not what I believe. It's who I believe in. That's why there's a cross on the door. It's what my Savior, the Lord Jesus, did for me on the cross at Calvary. He said finished because it was finished. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them His very own. He bore my burden to Calvary. He suffered and died alone. There is no loneliness anywhere. In the whole of the universe of God, there is no loneliness in eternity like the loneliness that my Savior experienced in the darkness of Calvary. For it was total separation and abandonment from His God. He endured that willingly for you and I. Why? That we might not be separated from God for all eternity. And you don't appreciate the cost of your salvation. And you're sitting there careless tonight, not realizing that Jesus said He was going to Jerusalem for the last time. He was passing through these villages for the last time. And He's preaching His message and His gospel. And He's saying to the people He's preaching to, you'd better come in because the door is closing. No, He didn't. He said, you'd better come in before the door is shut. You see, it's never a closing door. God doesn't work like that. It is at one moment a wide open door for every sinner to trust in Jesus, and then in a second the door is closed. Shut fast too. Bolted and barred on the inside, never to be opened again. The opportunity of salvation gone forever. If you stay outside the open door, it will close in a second when you die. If you stay outside this open door and refuse the gospel of the grace of God, I believe for you, dear soul, it'll close in a second when the Christians go home. The only thing left for you to believe is Satan's lie, and God will let it happen. An open door that will close. That's why the other door is drawn on the chart, because really you see two dimensions in black and white. You know, we can't explain it properly. Really, this door here is the same door. There comes a time and there comes a day when the open door is shut. Shut fast. Close tight. And Jesus told the story, and I believe it's true. He said, then you'll come. You'll want to be saved when it's too late. There are thousands of people in hell tonight that sat in gospel meetings just like this. You know what? They all want to be saved. Every single one of them. And they can't. And there's thousands of people who'll be left behind when Jesus takes the Christians home, and they'll want to get saved. And they can't. And the only time that I can guarantee you God's offer of salvation, the open door, is right now before we come to 8 o'clock tonight. An open door that will close. A closed door that will not open. That's why I read Revelation 3 and 20. I know I'm making application. We're not talking about doctrine. Praise God, it's a closed door that can open. But God will not force an entrance. Jesus stands outside. He's knocking on your door. Revelation chapter 3, he's talking to an individual. Even in the context of it being a church, he's talking to an individual. He's not talking to the crowd. He's not talking to the company. For the Spirit of God doesn't deal in companies. The Spirit of God deals with individuals. And those of us who are burdened and praying in these meetings, we believe in all our heart. We can't tell, but we believe the Spirit of God is speaking to individuals. For I know His word is going home. And there's a closed door in this room tonight, and we're praying. And you know what God is asking? That door will be opened from the inside. And the sinner who's been resisting the knocking of the Lord Jesus. You know, he could force his way in. We learned in the Gospels after he rose from the dead that he doesn't need to open the door to get in. We were talking about that today in the house. But this is your door. If you want to call it the door of your heart, I don't mind. I think it's the door of your will. God will not force himself in and save your soul and take you to heaven against your will, no matter how much people have prayed for you. Behold, I am standing outside your door, Jesus said, and I'm knocking. If any person hears my voice and opens their door, I'll come in straight away to him or her and sup with them and he with me.